What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to Value Town. I'm Chan MV, and that's Noxious. And Zalay's back from a long break, or actually a very, very busy December and holidays.
It's good to be back.
How's it going, man?
I'm so happy to be here, man. Life's good. I'm relaxed. I have free time. Be on Value Town. Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's great. Definitely great to have you back. And actually, before I forget, because I forget like every single week, just a shout out to L'Orange, who's the guy who makes the music for, you know, all of our intros and when we leave the show. And he actually made a special Christmas song for us during episode 102. And I've just been remiss in forgetting to give him a shout out. So I just figured I would do it in the very beginning, since I would remember right now.
Well done, Chad.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Nailed it.
Oh my God. Yes.
Fucking nailed it. Who's the guy's name again?
L'Orange. L apostrophe orange. But all right. It's like it's like a French pronunciation.
It's a French orange, I see.
It's a French orange, exactly.
Gotcha.
Or L'Orange. It could be L'Orange and I could be pronouncing it.
L'Orange?
I'm sure I'm going to be hearing from him very, very soon. Like, I'm butchering the hell out of his name, so.
You idiot.
Keep your shout-outs for yourself, man.
Forget these shout-outs. Don't ever do them again.
Not worth it.
Exactly. So how's the holidays for you, Noxious?
I mean, I've never really celebrated holidays. I know it's going to sound like I'm the old Grinch, but I never celebrated my birthday up. I never celebrated holidays. I'm not a holiday guy. I'm not a party guy. I'm not a celebration guy. I just live every day like it's the next day. It's the same shit every time. I don't pay attention. But honestly, though, the internet was aflame with, good mood. So obviously that helps. So that was good. That was good to see people finally digging themselves out of negativity everywhere but on the Hearthstone subreddit. That's the only place they found a way to make it worse. Like, these holidays. This is like just the worst thing ever. Just like, let's do it.
Let's get our forks out. Yeah, we'll be talking about that in the next section here.
For sure.
But holidays, yeah, it's pretty good for me too. I just pretty chill, I guess, compared to other years, because family was in town, but they actually left a little bit earlier this year than they normally do. And New Year's was pretty chill too. I normally go to this one party that they host every single year, and this year they just decided not to host it last minute, and we're just like, what do we do, man? What do we do? We have no idea what to do, so we just ended up staying home. Pretty boring New Year's Eve, I guess, compared to some others. Actually, you streamed, Zalay, didn't you?
Heck yeah, man.
He's Mr. Opportunistic. He is Mr. Opportunistic, man. That's awesome.
It was a good time to stream. Not a lot of other people on. And, I was actually pretty happy to not celebrate these. I went to Seed Story. That was my Christmas, right? And that was perfect. That was wonderful.
That was good.
I really enjoyed Seed Story this year. And after that, it was like, I'd moved this past month and I've been so busy with Hearthstone events and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so to have some free time to just chill, it's nice.
Awesome. No, definitely good. We don't get any downtime pretty much in, this streaming / esport, whatever industry here. So it's nice to even get a week when you can get it every so often. But we got a full show for you guys today. We got, we're going to be, the three of us are obviously going to be going through our week in Hearthstone drama decks, 2017 wish list, and then some Q&A at the end. Then it's going to be followed up by another show match that we did, a couple weeks ago for episode 100. It went really, really well. People seemed to love it, so I figured we'd try it again, given that we have more than a day's notice this time around to try to do it. So we've got Jackie Chan and Orange going to go at it. Same type of format we did last time with the class drafts and the bans. So, but this time I got to pre-record the actual draft and ban process, so you get a chance to see what how that went about a couple days ago. It was actually pretty fun. So stick around after the show for that. We'll flip stream, so I have to actually take the stream now real quick and then start it up with my producer. So don't leave, once the stream goes down. But anyways, our week in Hearthstone. I figure we'd kick things off by talking about the Tavern Brawl that just started today. It's to celebrate Diablo's 20th anniversary, which is crazy. Diablo 20 years old. Can you believe that?
Well, Diablo 1 was really, really long ago.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
No, but what I mean is, like, I don't have a hard time believing that a franchise is that old, or that specific game is that old, but I mean, it's
now I'm getting nostalgic for that game.
I know.
Sort of, but like, that's the thing, though. It's like, you know how when you look at these old games, like in your head, they're so good and they're so realistic. You go back to them and they're like, these are 5 pixels. This was a dragon. Enjoy your game. Exactly. You're like, this wasn't like that in my head. Full-fledged fire breathing monster. It's like, no, these are 5 pixels, dude. You just made shit up. And I mean, it's a disappointment every time, but at least it makes me enjoy, you know, the types of or the looks of the games that we have nowadays a lot more.
Yeah,
I can hear the sounds, you know, those little dogs.
Dude, those dogs, exactly, right?
The same sound over and over and over. Oh, it's like
so many times.
Every single time, and you just kind of get used to it. But
yeah.
Now we have like multiple SFX for same monsters. It's just like we're spoiled, right?
You know, I don't think I've ever gone back to Diablo. I've definitely gone back to like Warcraft and Warcraft 2 and been like, and even Starcraft. I'm like, holy crap, that looks like shit. That totally does not. That is not what I meant, or that's not how it is in my head at all. But I've never done that with Diablo. But definitely fond memories of the item copiers and things like that. Did you guys ever use any of those?
Right back then.
Yeah, back in the day that was. But Diablo 2 is still my fondest memories, though. I still love Diablo 2.
I played so much of that game.
Yeah, me too. It's crazy. It was just 4 stages. Like we literally play that like hundreds and thousands of times.
Well, I've been playing Path of Exile this week more than is probably healthy given the amount of shit I've got to do in my life. I'm like level 89 right now after like 1 week of going back to it, and it's like I had stuff to do that I probably neglected, but sometimes the ARPG, you know, itch just comes up.
Oh, of course.
And I just need to scratch it a bit, and then I probably, you know, get tired of it after 2 weeks of playing it, and then I go back to my normal routine. But yeah, the D2 feel, man, the Diablo 2 feel, just Path of Exile nailed it. I just love it.
Yeah, just go wrecking stuff, man. It's always a lot of fun. But getting back to Hearthstone, though, so with the Tavern Brawl, this is kind of like, you know, the tribute to the Diablo.
No. Hearthstone, can I talk about Diablo 2 more?
Yeah.
Tell me Hearthstone, what build do you like?
No, but getting back to Hearthstone, the Tavern Brawl, this is kind of like the tribute to Diablo. And we have the Dark Wanderer, who is the hero, the AI that we battle in Tavern Brawl. And this is one where you build your own deck. And the whole concept is this Dark Wanderer has 3 secrets. These are brand new secrets. These aren't secrets that we've had in the game before. And, you know, there's just something secret about him. And you're trying to figure out what those secrets are. Somebody listed all the secrets on Reddit today. Of course, you know, of course, spoilers if you guys don't want to be don't want to have the secrets revealed here. But you can check them out. There's a list of the secrets and the spells too. But apparently, so when I played it, so this is my first experience, and mine's probably the worst one, so I'll just go first. So I go and play, I'm like, you know, aggro shaman, of course, right? Like, I might as well just build an aggro shaman right now and just see what it is, because I have like no idea. At first I was thinking flare, but then it's like, flare wouldn't be fun, you know, like apparently you can't even play any secret eater or flares. So I end up doing it, and I'm just like, okay, 3 secrets, probably going to be some explosive traps or something like that, right? So Patches comes on the board, nothing happens, just hit him in the face. Get Jade Claw, get Jade Lightning, and all the time that he keeps summoning Blood Imps. And I'm just like, I'm not sure what's supposed to happen here. And I just win. Turn 6. Nothing literally happens. So I totally missed out on all the cool stuff, and I didn't get a chance to play it again because I was like trying to plan for the show. Did you guys get a chance to experience the fun crazy Cow King and all these hell bovines and things?
I didn't get that part. I had a very different experience. So you did aggro shaman. See, I went aggro warrior, right? So I played Patches.
Even faster.
I hit him
amazing.
In the face. Yeah, I mean, I just killed the guy. I don't know.
You didn't trigger
there
any.
There were some coins.
You were trying, dude. You were trying to trigger some.
I killed 2-3 minions. I got some coins. Then I was like, yeah, just kill this guy.
Okay. So you didn't you didn't trigger a secret either.
No, I didn't know how.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's the thing that happened. Actually, my wife played it, and she had the same experience. It was like she told me, "Can you build me a deck for, you know, just to play the Tavern Brawl?" I'm like, "Sure." And I just built her like a Divine Spirit, Inner Fire Priest, and
that's gonna work better. Yeah.
Well, she doesn't have all the cards, so I just figured, what cheap deck can we build right now for her to beat a boss in PvE? And I'm like, that's got to be it. So we just make that. And apparently, the first time she killed him, She just killed him. Like, he did nothing, literally nothing.
Yeah, what's crazy?
On the following try, the other one, there was like a Battlecry secret, but all these things are so obscure that you don't know what you have to trigger. So you should just play a Reno deck and pray. This is how I look at it so far. Okay, right. That's the way I look at it.
I mean, if you just look at these secrets,
you can interact.
If yeah, you look, play everything.
Play everything, right. If you, it's like playing the Hog Rider cards, basically. If you had look at these secrets, I mean, there's a good chance that they should have triggered with the decks that we had. They just didn't. I mean, there's one that saves him from lethal damage. There's one that is when somebody charges Thunder Fury, which I'm not sure what that is.
Ooh, yeah, I know what Thunder Fury is.
What is it?
Fury, but what is
that? That was the legendary weapon in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, but what is that doing in this place?
Oh, I don't know in this one, but it.
Oh, they made a weapon in Diablo 3, that's right, as a tribute to World of Warcraft.
Oh,
so
I
this
see.
Is like a tributeception. Diablo 3 tribute to WoW, and it just shows up in the Diablo tribute.
God.
Sure, man.
Yeah.
I love Thunder Fury because, like, when your tank had that, they held aggro. And I was a DPS, and I like to go hard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So it was nice when they would actually get to keep things. And I agree,
man. Totally. Yeah, so I think we just got unlucky, to be honest. I mean, there's Death Rattle covered, spell damage covered. Like, I didn't play any spell damage, just luckily. I'm not luckily, but unluckily for him. Stealth things. Lots of different things here that could have triggered, but it's kind of hard to trigger all of them, to be honest. Like, you literally have to build a Reno deck to maybe trigger
with everything.
All of these.
Yeah. It seems like you have to go back to it a few times to really nail every single possibility, and even then, I'm not sure you'd be able to do it, so...
Yeah, but, I mean, it's just supposed to be a fun thing, and apparently at some point, the hero gets Twisting Nethered, like, Enigmatic Portal. At the start of your next turn, your hero is transformed and sucked through the Twisting Nether. Yeah, see, I gotta see these things. All these things kind of sound
That's
exciting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, and, oh, by the way, the hero, the AI hero, the hero power starts as Summon a Random Imp. So, like, my guy was literally getting blood imp after blood imp.
Yeah, that's all he did.
So unlucky, man. So unlucky, dude.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
So, give it a try, guys. It's obviously live out there. And, yeah, anyways, just happy birthday, Diablo, and hopefully 20 more years of Diablo. Wow, that'd be crazy.
I mean,
oh, my God.
Diablo 4 in VR... I'll take
that. Would be sweet,
that sounds
dude.
Nice.
That'd
it sounds
be
like
sweet.
The ex- it sounds like this could be exactly the project that Blizzard's working on right now that no one knows about. Like that seems like the kind of thing they would do.
Yeah, let's not talk about Diablo for 5 straight BlizzCons and then come out with something just blows all of our minds. They
VR
talk-
is the future of like working out because I did some VR recently.
Working out, okay.
Yeah, no,
yeah.
It was like some shooting game, right? And you like squat behind sandbags to not get hit by the AI or whatever, and I ended up just doing a lot of squats and my legs hurt the next day. I was like, dang.
And you're like, this is like a real life crisis is what I felt like I was in.
I just kept having to do squat behind stuff, like I don't know,
workout videos for gamers. So instead of like having these fitness people doing squats and shit, you just create some kind of CSGO scenario videos. Yeah.
Because if they do, then people are just going to stop midway, be like, oh, I'm done with my workout. This sucks. But if they say it's a war game and they sell it as a war game and it happens to make you lose weight, then that's a different thing. But they can't market it as a workout game because people will just get tired of that bullshit.
Yeah, no. It has to be a game you want to play and then just happen to
on the cover of
a lot of squats.
Right. On the cover of Men's Fitness is going to be a VR gaming one of these days. That's going to be awesome. But okay, well, why don't we move on? Hearthstone had a new commercial, as if Guac Boy wasn't enough. We have a new one where it's basically inside a coffee shop. Did you guys get a chance to watch this or no?
I didn't. I don't really. I don't have TV.
I gotta link
I don't
this
really watch
right.
the
you,
subreddit much.
I'm gonna make sure you guys watch this like right now. Here we go. I'm gonna link it to you. Watch this right now. And It's amazing. These Hearthstone videos are so cringy, but at the same time, they're so good, too, because they're cringy. So we've got Medivh this time around.
Right.
Yeah, of course. All right, you got to watch this. You got to watch this. All right, let me see if I can bring it up, too.
Oh. Apparently, I need to request a trial for iSpot TV or whatever.
Oh, really? Oh, I didn't have to do any of that.
I think that's not happening.
That's not. I think that's not happening. All right. Let me see if I can play this.
Latte for Alex.
I'm Alex.
Half soy gluten-free matcha shot.
All pumpkin, no spice, vegan whip.
Ew.
Anyway, what did you have to say about it?
Anyways, I just wanted to just see if you guys got a chance to see it, because it's another... It's on Guac Boy level. There's a Reno Jackson in there that, man, looks like McCree.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Don't you put an owl at me.
Do whatever I want with my owl.
It's definitely full cringe, but they're trying to embrace it.
Yeah, they are. It's a pretty interesting approach to it. I wonder if it's working or not.
I'm sure it's got to be, right?
I mean, Guac Boy was an instant meme. I mean, that everybody was doing stuff with Guac Boy, but I don't think I've seen anything with these characters with the commercial quite yet, at least. But okay, interesting approach. I think I like them better than what we saw before. You know, like the original Hearthstone ones. Do you remember those? Like
I remember one that I liked that had Annoyatron running around. Like
yeah, that one.
I don't know
good.
If that was like a TV commercial
in the arena.
It was
yeah,
commercial
I know what you mean.
Something.
Yeah, yeah, that was a pretty good one too. That was definitely a good one too.
Hello,
that's right.
And it just kept coming back.
Yep, over and over. There was that one in the arena too. Like they're in this like medieval arena thing, and they were simulating just being like in the Hearthstone game board. Do you remember that?
No, it doesn't ring a bell. No. Well, I remember there was like the Ogre Brute. Is that the one you're talking
about? Yeah,
the
Ogre Brute.
Ogre Brute was Stormwind Champion or whatever.
Yeah, yep, that's
they're
the
fighting
one.
Off against each other. And
Yeah. That was one of the original ones. But having to figure out how to make commercials for the masses is definitely an interesting thing for the Hearthstone team. Crazy.
How to get these people interested? It's like, make them cringe. At least they'll look at it. That's got to work.
I guess so, yeah. All right, next up, we've, you know, during the holidays, of course, we noticed some drama that was happening, a little bit of drama this last week. Started off with just some crazy salty town, I guess is what I called it, on the subreddit, where people were just going nuts and lashing out at the design team and just about just everything, I guess, or just the current meta and just what's missing from the game. And just went all out too. And you know, that happens all the time. You know, I mean, it's like the subreddit there's nothing special really about it. But I think what was a little bit different about it this time was that there was just so many upvotes for it. You know, like the points on these threads and stuff were actually so high and people were just discussing it. Granted, there were other threads that started that were basically countering these two. But I figured it'd be worth talking about a little bit. Just, I mean, it's just a lot of discussion. And whenever there's a big topic like that, we should just talk about it a little bit. Okay, so I guess first off, what do you guys think? I mean, are you guys not happy with the game right now? I mean, I actually think it's fine right now. I mean, obviously things could always be better. But in terms of it being, you know, compared to what it was like a month or two ago, I actually think it's much better.
Yeah, I feel exactly how you're saying you feel, Chanman. Right now, I'm pretty happy with Hearthstone. A month and a half ago, I was ready to kill people.
Like, oh, man.
I was so angry about that mid shaman meta. Like, to give you an idea, finishing high on ladder ends, or finishing high on ladder matters for like winning lots of money and becoming world champion and that kind of stuff. And last month counted. Like, if I finished high on ladder last month, it was valuable towards becoming world champion or money, all these things. And I played wild instead of actually trying. I literally hated the metagame so much, I didn't even try. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't sound like a lot if you don't know me, but
no, that matters a lot.
I'm a tryhard. I like to compete. I'm here to win, you know? I like to grind it out and all that kind of stuff. And last month, I literally didn't even try. I've never had that experience before where a metagame was such that I literally didn't even want to try.
Right.
It's my job, and I just played wild, right?
I mean, it's
now,
interesting. Yeah.
Now I actually enjoy the game. There's stuff for me to figure out.
And you finished what, top 30 or something like that? Right?
Yeah, I finished top 10 this launch.
Yeah, top 10. Sorry, yeah, top 10. So that says a lot. That actually does say a lot that you would just not even compete and we just do get any points in the HTT because of how their meta is currently. But yeah, so generally, it surprised me, to be quite honest. I was surprised that there was just so much
anger.
Just so much anger from, you know, that percentage of the Reddit community. And yeah, of course, the Reddit community only represents a small, you know, piece of the general community. But it's the vocal community, And it is some type of, I mean, you do have to use it as a somewhat of a barometer of what's going on in the Hearthstone community. So I was just like, wow, really? Like, people are, I mean, I feel like they were as upset about things as they were when Karazhan was out. And that was, like, saying a lot, you know, like, because Karazhan, they went crazy even right after it came out, right? So, yeah, I don't know. I don't feel like it's completely warranted. I mean, there are definitely things, I mean, we're going to probably talk about in our wish list that, you know, they could be doing better. And, you know, we have seen some tweets from Yongwoo and some tweets from Ben, or at least some comments from Ben and some of the team, you know, responding to some of this stuff, like, recently. But, yeah, it was surprising to me. And for me, honestly, a little bit unwarranted, you know, because I think they've been trying. I mean, the latter end of the year, they've been doing a lot of things, like, you know, whether it's in regard to arena guys has improved a ton. I don't think anybody's even talked about that. I mean, all the arena players I'm talking to are having a great time in arena right now.
They're having a better time, but I mean, it's still the same experience at its core, right? Like, you pick 30 cards in a sequence. There's not much in terms of deck building aside from letting stuff come up to you, and you have to just make the best of it. But there isn't even, like, going back on your picks or, you know, a bigger pool. So it's improved a ton, and it's hard to argue with that. But, like, I'm the happiest with Hearthstone now that, I've been since probably release. And, you know, with the expansion that came out. You know, Naxxramas pissed me off because it had Undertaker. GVG pissed me off because it had, you know, Pile of Shredder and Dr. Boom. And they tilted me before I even got to play them. There's, like, so much that tilted me before it even happened. And this is the first expansion where I'm like, okay, so these are really good cards, and there are some really broken potential decks, but it's not like one or two classes do it. It's like, here's this wide array of classes that are able to compete. Now, you know, there's always going to be a bad class, and in this case, Hunter and Paladin ended up getting the short end of the stick, but yeah.
I mean, again, like, I keep reiterating this from, like, week. You've heard me say this a million times, but you guys have to understand that in 3 months, the entire thing, this entire meta and everything that we know with all these classes are going to change drastically when three of the key expansions that a lot of these decks are built upon are going to change. So, I mean, I think some of these decisions are being made, at least from the design team, in preparation for that. Unfortunately, we have to go through these, you know, these first 3 months. But imagine if they didn't prep for it and we just had all this stuff just, like, be removed. And then what happens? You know, like, if some of these classes seem very incomplete with I don't know, certain archetypes or certain themes that they're trying to do.
Well, I want to talk about that a little bit.
Okay,
I like these 3 months, first of all. Second of all, I'm really excited to have a giant change up in 3 months. I love change and new things. That's like what makes things interesting, right? Having stuff to figure out, stuff to learn about. But I don't agree with the design philosophy of we need to prepare in advance for that eventuality and you have to put up with this for now. My issue with that is that I don't think they have a good enough handle on how to balance the metagame for now that I trust them to balance future metagames. And I feel like they should try and focus on every expansion. They should be like, we're going to make this metagame as balanced as possible. And once those things rotate out in 3 months, they should create a set that fixes all of the balance issues that come up with old things rotating out. That's the way I see it. I think they should always be living for today, and then we shouldn't ever have to deal with a problem because they need to do this to make things make sense in 3 months.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, they have to probably, like, I wish they, because there's a problem with the development length, right? Which is they've made this expansion so far ahead of time that they're not necessarily revisiting them when they're about to release them. And that's the one thing I wish was the case.
Sounds unwise. I mean, I guess it's a business thing. You have to do what you have to do, but that sounds like you really should be adjusting at the last minute.
And that's the one thing that I don't like about how Hearthstone's been. I mean, I don't know internally how it goes. You know, maybe they said, you know, BGH nerf format 7-7, that's fine. And they actually thought about it before they did it. But there is a good chance that it just slipped through the cracks. And it was just like, oh, we nerfed BGH because that was a balanced patch needed. And we have this expansion for you guys that we made 5 months ago. What happens now? And I get the feeling like that could be like a point of contention as far as the way that the stuff is designed. But, you know, they've done such a good job of this expansion that I have to assume that they're expecting to be doing more monitoring of the current state of the game in order to release expansions that feel better.
Well, how I look at it, and I know what you mean by that, like, Zalay, but we know that their release cycles are these, you know, if the release cycles could be like once a month and with sooner, and everybody is always asking for that. of course, like they, I feel like they could react to it, you know, just as things happen, you know, like when these sets just remove, if we see, you know, the current state of the meta just being in an unhealthy place, we just fix it right away, you know, with new cards or, you know, changing old cards, whatever, right? But we know it doesn't, it's not quick like that. For whatever reason, we know the process isn't that way. And we know that cards just come out 3 times a year, you know, like that's just how it is, you know, like there's no ways around that, at least that we know of. And so because of that, I feel like it's either you pay now or you pay later, you know, in terms of like something bad. And right now, I think if we're paying right now, then it's not that bad. It's not that bad right now, you know. And
I like Hearthstone right now.
Yeah. And I just think that it would have been a little bit more unpredictable to maybe approach it from the standpoint of not preparing with certain cards, you know, for the March or whenever that is, the big old drop. And then having to like just have potentially a very crazy period too, where people are unhappy for up until the next expansion in the summer. So for me, I'd rather them actually prepare for it than not. So we kind of disagree there. but anyway, overall though, I just don't think that, like, it's just surprising that people are as unhappy as they are right now. Well, could be just the end of the year.
I think it's just one of those things where there is a general. So here's one of the things that you have to understand, right? Is that people who play the game don't experience it the same way a pro would, right? Like, so I, as a caster, or as someone who observes games and just love analyzing them, when I look at someone like Zalay who plays the game, I understand why he likes the meta. It just makes sense. Like, there's some logic to it, and it's structured. And it's not as stale as Midrange Shaman, because for all the complaints Midrange Shaman got, it was very predictable. If you got into a mirror match, there were very specific lines of play you had to take. Lots of dice rolling at times, but that's just a part of the Shaman matchup in general. Now, the thing that's going on right now is that people are looking at the meta and they're seeing, here are all these decks for weapon classes that all contain patches, and here are all these decks for non-weapon classes that are all Kazakus-based. And they see nothing but staleness, because they see Reno decks and patches decks, and nothing of whatever else is in that deck for them is irrelevant, because that's not what the deck usually does. And I think that's not because the decks are not different. It's because last expansion, Rogue still played a Druidrake. Gadgets and Auctioneer, Preparation, Backstab, Eviscerate, Cold Blood. It did all those things. So it's not the new cards, they're not fun. It's the fact that the core of the deck still hasn't changed that much. And people just want change. They want to see like an upheaval where, you know, the new Stealth Rogue that we're going to be talking about later, like that's just filled with new stuff. It's filled with unplayed cards and it works. And there are decks like, you know, the attempts that people have made at like an interesting tempo mage that didn't really pan out, that didn't really like evolve Shaman. And again, another type of deck that was a bit different. If you went on the deep end, if you actually like went off the deep end and you went like Nerubian Prophet and you played the full-on evolve deck, that felt new. But people want that to be competitive, and they are tired of a mid-range shell including 2 evolves and 2 doppelgangsters. Like, they want a new deck, you know what I mean? Like, that's just why they're complaining. They don't see enough novelty aside from like, oh, here are 4 slots in my old deck.
But, you know, we will see that, though. Well, so your first point with having, like, Rogue, for instance, have these same cards, you know, that's the issue with the base and classic sets, right? Not changing. Not necessarily the class itself, but just that set of cards just never changing. And unfortunately, Miracle Rogue has those same cards. I mean, they're always going to have those 16 cards, you know, whatever it is, right? Yeah. But there are other classes that we do see, like Shaman, for instance. A lot of those cards are not in the base set right now. A lot of them are. And, you know, Warrior, like that's a, you know, Pirate Warrior is a deck that we didn't see anything like it in the last meta, you know, like we didn't see any kind of aggro. I mean, we saw it like maybe in the
on the
low
opener
ranks.
We saw a ton of Pirate War. No, on the opener of this, when the expansion came out, it was nothing but aggro warriors as people tried to refine their Shaman to go back with Maelstrom and Spirit Claws. The thing is, adventures tend to not have as big like an impact, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing is, Karazhan comes out, metagame, like people just keep playing the deck they were already playing because not too much new stuff came out. But when like a massive card set comes out, like the one we just had, people are like, okay, now let's shuffle everything. Maybe my old deck doesn't work, so let me just play a hyper aggro deck while people figure it out. I'll just climb the ladder. Yeah. This is why we saw Pirate Warrior like be so aggressively oppressive in the first 2 days, basically. Yeah. Like 2 days. It took 2 days, and then
no, and now it's more of like a pirate dragon thing, you know, that people play when they're playing warriors. But yeah, so but overall, I mean, think about the classes that you are seeing on the ladder, guys. I mean, it obviously it's not necessarily the highest percentage, but we do see a healthy amount of, you know, shaman, warrior, rogue, priest, mage. Not I mean, hunters easily the worst, okay? But
yeah.
And who? What else?
You missed Warlock.
Warlock,
but Hunter and Paladin are the Warlock, pretty obscure ones.
Yeah, so that's seven classes, guys. That's better than we've had in a long time, maybe ever.
Sucks to be a Hunter fan.
Yeah.
Somebody, we need scratches. It's a 1/1 charge that you get when you play a beast.
Scratches. Rename Alley Cat to Scratches. And actually,
oh, man.
Patches and Scratches.
There's patches and scratches.
Or scratches and bites, right? They just bring each other out.
Yeah.
Scratches and bites.
Scratchy and bites.
Or we could use, some bovine love like we do in the Tavern Ball. We've still yet to have a cow in Hearthstone.
You mean Moo and Moo?
Moo and Moo.
Oh,
yes.
Get Moo and Moo.
Okay.
I like that. We have like one card M-O? Called Moo that brings out the other Moo. So we have like the two cows.
The two cows.
I like that.
That's terrible, man. That's totally terrible. But yeah, so we'll talk some more about our wish list, because there are obviously other stuff that's not just meta related that people were not happy about. But overall, I'm very hopeful for 2000. I actually think the team's going to be coming out with some cool things. I don't know anything, so it's not like I have inside information or anything, but I have a feeling that 2017 is going to be a good year for a lot of things we've maybe been asking for some time, or just things in addition to just new cards, and hopefully some other things. And again, we'll talk about it in a second. See, next up, we've got a little bit of drama. We got some meta report drama, which, you know, a little bit of, you know, going back and forth here. Started, I think, mostly with just comments from, you know, the community, or just the subreddit again, in regards to the Tempestorm meta report and just how it was done, and, you know, questioning, I guess, some of the validity of it, and, you know, and that aspects of it. So Raynad made a video, talked about just like, you know, exactly what the process is for making the meta report, and going through just, you know, who contributes to it, and maybe giving a background of just some of those players who are very accomplished players, by the way, and just talking a bit about just how they do it. And in that video, you know, I don't think he wanted to originally, but because, you know, the counterpoint to the Tempestorm meta report is obviously the Vicious Syndicate one, you know, he basically made some comments about Vicious Syndicate, and then that caused a reply from the Vicious Syndicate folks on Reddit, and then it became just like this kind of back, really not so much back and forth, but definitely just a little bit of drama there. So, you know, maybe we touch a little bit on that, just kind of back and forth, but really I do want to talk about the meta reports, because we haven't really gotten a chance to speak much. I don't think we've ever talked about the meta reports, to be honest. He made the mood card. We'll show it in a second.
Yeah, not really. It's more of a competitive thing, right? Like, we do cover competitive stuff, but like, there's one every week, and it's kind of hard to look at the meta, because sometimes it doesn't change for a long period of time, and we tackle the metagame changes anyway, so even without the full hard data, it's good enough to know the matchups. But I wish more people had used that data when the expansion came out. Like, it's always slower to come in when the expansion comes out, but it would have been good, because people kept, you know, mislabeling good matchups as bad matchups and bad matchups as good matchups, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? Like, I get this info from that guy over there who tells me this matchup's unwinnable, and the other guy says the exact opposite. I have an opinion on it, so obviously I side with what I think is right, and it takes like 3 weeks for it to settle, and then I'm like, okay, so I wasn't insane at the end of the day. Like, this is really a bad matchup. It took so fucking long.
It settles pretty quickly if you use VS Data Reaper. They're pretty accurate.
Right, but it takes a while, right, at the beginning.
You recommend? Nice. I mean,
no, they're pretty quick, man. They get things figured out quick.
I mean, the biggest thing between the two is that, you know, the Vicious Syndicate one is clearly the way they present their data is based on the data that they get from Tracklebot. And Tracklebot, for those who are not familiar with it, it's basically a deck tracker. If you've ever used any of the deck tracker, the Hearthstone deck tracker or Tracklebot, and it you know, it keeps track of your winning percentage for the decks that you're playing. And that's what they use. So the folks that use Tracklebot, or at least Vicious Syndicate, has access to the data that's collected from Tracklebot. With Tempestorm, it's basically a collection of players / just experts, right? Just call it an expert panel that give their recommendations and their, you know, opinions on basically what is the tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, and tier 4 decks. each and every week. And yeah, there's a lot of commentary too. I mean, we're not just talking about literally listing like a power ranking and that's it. I mean, there's a lot more, you know, article aspects to it, you know, just talking about it for both of them, Vicious Syndicate and the Tempest Storm. So that's what I would say. I would say Tempest Storms is more of just getting the opinions of like pro players, where Vicious Syndicate is more, you know, presenting just numbers and pulling from that.
Yeah.
Depending on which one you know value, it's just your cup of tea. Yeah, obviously, Zalay likes the Vicious Syndicate.
I don't see things that way.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, Tempo Storm is a bunch of pro players' opinions, and Vicious Syndicate is a bunch of pro players' opinions based on data. Talking about stuff, but Vicious Syndicate has a bunch of data in there. And let me tell you, data is real and it is important. That is what you care about. Okay, so like my buddy Amnesiac talked to me. He'd been playing Reno Lock all month and he was, you know, bashing his head against the wall. He was so close to finishing like where he wanted to be on the ladder, but he wasn't, you know, so close, but not quite getting it done. And I was like, look, man, I talked to Eloise at Seed Story and she said, here are 3 or 5 rank 1 legend decks and they are all aggro shaman. And I look at the Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report and it says aggro shaman is statistically the best deck. So maybe Amnesiac, you should play Aggro Shaman. And when I went to do my try hard ladder climb, I played Aggro Shaman. You know what? He finished like number 3. I finished like number 7. But it works. Almost everyone who is in the top 100 legend, I wouldn't be surprised if over 50 of the top 100 legend players were primarily Aggro Shaman. Like it is the best deck. And that's actually one of my gripes about ladder right now is that people seem to not know that or not respect that. There's so many people playing these effing anti-control decks that are just terrible against Aggro Shaman. And like, I'm sitting here and I want to have fun and I want to play my Kazakus deck and have a good time. And everyone's playing these decks that absolutely are awesome against what I'm trying to play and terrible against the best deck. I'm like, I could play Aggro Shaman and just beat the heck out of you guys, but I don't want to do that. I want to have fun. Could you just please play a deck that's good against the best deck or at least okay against the best deck instead of targeting these bad decks that I'm trying to play? It sucks, man. So yeah, Vicious Syndicate Data Reaper report is where you should be looking if you're trying to get accurate information about how to win.
That's great. So like on the flip side, I'll say one thing, right? About the decks that people play that don't make sense. And I think it's all because Reno Mage is a thing. Like that deck took so long to crop up, but it finally makes sense because, like, I remember back when Dragon Priest and Jade were a thing, like Jade Druid, it just kind of made no sense to play Reno Mage. Like, you were just going to get absolutely destroyed because you couldn't possibly beat that type of tempo. But you do pretty well against aggro, and you're going to be beating Reno Warlock pretty consistently. And Reno Warlock doesn't prey on Jade anymore. Rogue's everywhere, and Midrange Shaman's coming back, right? Like, you see Midrange Shaman coming back, that's like the one thing that Reno Lock wants, but it's not popular enough yet that it outweighs Aggro Shaman by a large margin. Like you'll notice that the metagame is like super, like, you do that while I sit up at top 100 for the entire season.
Right. Okay, well, sorry, you know, for those that are trying to watch right now, sorry about it. Twitch is having an issue. I tried streaming directly to their, like their servers instead of just using the normal type in your stream key. And I think some people can watch it. I think we have like a few people that are watching,
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah. So hopefully some of you folks can catch it. If not, the VODs will be up, guys. We'll try to have, we should have as much of it as possible up on YouTube later. Okay. Well, why don't we talk about some decks now that we've been playing here? I think that's what I have here next. Let me see. Oh, no, actually, I have a wish list next. Yeah. Why don't we talk a little bit about wish list? We did like a really fast impromptu wish list last week.
It wasn't
week.
Fast. It was really long, actually.
Was
it's just
it?
That you had no items. Yeah. I just enumerated everything I had.
Okay. Well, how about Zalay? What kind of wish lists do you have that are, realistic for, you know, 2017? Like what would you say?
Realistic wish list. I mean, I'm pretty happy right now. I don't wish for a lot. I just want them to keep changing things in the metagame so I have new problems to solve and work on. I want new metagames, new decks, new challenges to solve. I want stuff to think about. That's what I'm looking for in a game. New stuff to think about. And lately I've been getting that, so I'm pretty happy.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome have anything.
It's so hard because, like, I on one hand I'm super happy, like, as when I look at the competitive side, but then I look at like the casual side and I'm like, yeah, the entry cost of Hearthstone is unattainable for most new players right now. Like, you have to actually get like a full deck now to compete. It's all like new cards and a bunch of new stuff that you have to get, plus the classic set and basic set. And if you, God forbid, you want two decks, you want to play Dragon Priest, never mind. So new players are struggling a lot right now. So that's one thing I'd probably put on my wish list. It's not really for me because I don't really give a crap, but just to make sure that people don't rely on the current income, because it's good. Like, if I look at Hearthstone compared to, say, another TCG or another CCG, I think Hearthstone, the fact that you don't need like four legendaries and whatnot, like the current acquisition is good enough. But given how much, like, how much of the stuff you get is fluff and not playable, for people who are looking to enter the competitive deck scene, I think that would be a nice thing to have. Maybe better ways to allocate resources, or simply better ways to acquire them.
Yeah, I think that and something else that would help with it would be that the whole tournament, you know, the tournament system. I think having people be able to play something that's not ladder, just even if you're just say rank 20 to 25, you know, just having something for that, the folks in that space be able to compete against each other, and, you know, just kind of breaking it up into different buckets and having them compete against each other would, I think, help with that, you know, because right now, you're right, everybody's in the same bucket. So, you know, if you don't have the cards, then, you know, you're never going to get past a certain point. It's not even about skill, you know, and it's just about being limited because of, you know, monetary reasons or whatever. At least if you are limited, you could still have, you know, some type of achievement, some satisfaction, right? With play, you know, and competitive too. Like, if you're talking about a competitive sense, you know, it could be fun. I mean, if you're just talking about just having fun and just, you know, just throwing down cards and just having fun with that, interactions and things like that, then I don't think it matters. You know, like, I think those folks don't even care, you know, whether they get some of the new cards or not. And when they're given like the new legendaries, like we did in Whispers of the Old Gods and some of the others, that's great. You know, that's like a real bonus for them, and they feel good about it. But to fix it generally, I think you would need some type of, you know, different tournament system that's not the ladder to allow for them to hang out with, you know, just play with each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, play with one another in that system.
And that's a very common request. Yeah.
For new players, I just want to give like a piece of advice. I mean, I don't actually know exactly, so hopefully I'm not saying something that's wrong, but I think probably for less than $100 and less than a month, you can get one competitive deck built. And that would be my piece of advice. If you're a guy who wants to win and you're frustrated by the new Hearthstone experience, go to the Vicious Syndicate or Tempo Storm and pick one net deck that looks cool to you and that looks affordable, and go get that. You know, buy the expansion you need to buy, disenchant all the stuff that you don't need to build that deck, and craft the cards you need to build that deck and play that deck. That would be my advice to a new player who feels like they're struggling for lack of card ability. You don't need to have $10,000 and have everything golden. You don't need to, you know, wait 6 months to play something. Pick one deck, net deck it, disenchant the stuff that's not relevant to that deck, and craft that one deck and play it. That's my advice.
I would say
you don't have to say this is impossible. I think you can totally do it within a month.
Yeah. And then here's the thing too, guys. If, you know, some folks might be thinking, why just one deck? You know, it's kind of boring just to play one deck. But you know what, guys? When you win, you actually gain more gold, generally speaking, in Hearthstone, which will eventually get you more cards. So, like, the most efficient way is to do that, is to totally pick the cheapest, best deck that you can get. Cheapest meaning dust, meaning gold, whatever. Aggro Shaman is very cheap. It's like crazy cheap.
It's the best.
It's crazy cheap, too. So, one thing I would say too, for these meta reports that we just talked about, it'd be great if they added a budget section too. You know, just for advice. That's like one of the biggest that's the most common question probably in Hearthstone. It'd be awesome if there was a section that was dedicated to that. And it would be awesome if Blizzard updated their recipes a little bit more often, you know, to include one of these decks, you know, that's budget.
Well, they don't really have any incentive to do so for many reasons, but you also don't want to go the route of drafting ideas from your community if you're going to put deck recipes. I mean, I'm not talking, like, obviously
happening anyways. Like, net decking is like accepted at this point. Like,
sure, but you, like, it's like having the so here, you know, the trend where like Twitch is embedded in some games. I don't think that's the feel Blizzard wants for Hearthstone. They won't have Hearthstone pop up, say, hey, look at this Twitch streamer streaming right now. The same way they won't go, here's this deck that is like taking, you know,
cards. I disagree with that. I actually really disagree. I mean, there's definitely some aspects I agree with, but there are some things that I think that, you know, when you're talking about just entry, you know, just ease to entry and even engagement. Sure. I mean, these are the type of things that help with that. The last thing you want to use is a barrier.
They already are
entry.
Budget decks, right? Like a lot of them are already budget decks. They're even just letting you replace cards you don't have. I mean,
do they change them often? Like I don't notice that they do. So
But if you go in and you don't have a card, they'll just suggest an alternative. So they'll use your collection to build something reasonable. The deck recipes are there as like guidelines, and they're pretty functional. Like if you want to build like a druid deck, that's like the new Lotus deck, right?
Yeah.
In that deck, they have two legendaries. They've got Aya Blackpaw and Fandral, right?
Okay, yeah, sure.
And if I don't have Aya and Fandral, they'll suggest like another, let's say, Violet Teacher, and who knows what other six drop. And if I'm a new player and I've got nothing else, they'll probably go, oh, here's Buldafist Ogre for you. And then you don't have Jade Behemoth, here's another Buldafist Ogre. Like you play another Buldafist and then a War Golem.
Yeah.
Replace everything with curve play so it makes sense. But like obviously the deck is worse. Like what is the budget deck in terms of how many legendaries you have is my question. Like, do you mean like not at all? Because the core, the fundamental deck they give you when you start with a classic recipe,
yeah, would have none.
They have the class legendary. Yeah. That's it. There's like Cenarius and Druid. There's Archmage and Mage. There's Valen and Priest. Like they're terrible, but the classic deck contains one legendary, and it's a class card, and the deck has Boulder Fist, it's got Azure Drakes, it's got Earthening Farseer, it's got like all sorts of Harvest Golem stuff. You just don't know why it's there, but it's a standard deck, and it's a classic deck, and it's not very pricey, so they already have that.
I know what you mean. I think another level of complexity to that would be nice, but it just might be like it might be asking like it might be too much actually. Which like we infinite, say that right? Too much, yeah. You're we always done. Say, oh, I don't want to be too much for the players, but actually in this particular case, it might be just a little bit too much for the brand new player entering into the game. So I have a few more too. So I would say first off, like for 2017, I'd like to see more non-serious community events. You know, everything in the event, you know, everything in Hearthstone right now is just so like competitive and serious. And, you know, every so often we do get the, you know, challenge stones or, you know, I've been doing streamer showdowns recently and whatever it is, Jabarino, whatever it is. Right. I feel like we need more of those things. Like just bring in all the people like Seed Story is so great because of that. Seed Story is like a combination of like fun and a competitive event. In fact, I think the competitive event sometimes is just like, really 50% of that event where everything, you know, like there's 50% is everything else. And we need more of that in the community so that, you know, we're just missing some fun right now. I think the Hearthstone community and I mean, it's very, very possible. I think the fun events are easier to do than the super competitive ones, you know, that way, you know, and the reason I bring that up is because, you know, I've been going through the process of trying to figure out this innovative, cool format for, you know, just for the community in a competitive way. And I don't know. I just got into the point where
there's no solution.
Yeah. There might be solutions, but there's nothing that's just drastically different. You know,
there's nothing that's elegant because I could make a drastic tournament. I'll call it like the Ladybug Invitational. You win, you get like a ladybug pillow as a prize, right? Yeah. And the only way you can win is if you play one of these six decks that I made. They're all filled with random bullshit. Good luck.
Yeah.
And that's the event. Like that could be pretty fun. People get to select the class that they want, and then maybe it's a draft system. But like there's no way to play competitive Hearthstone in a fun manner.
I don't know. I disagree with that. Like, I think
there
is a way.
Without external, like, Seed Story Cup is fun, but it's not the gameplay that's fun. It's the event that's fun, right? Like, let's just...
Yeah, it's the event altogether. Yeah.
If you're looking for a fun format, you're going to need some serious, like, imposition of rule sets. Stuff like Challenge Stone, which was amazing.
I love that stuff. It's so good.
The draft system that I thought was fucking fascinating. Mm-hmm. But these are like very extreme formats. Like what other extreme format can you make right now that isn't like coming up with a new rule set and drafting cards?
Yeah.
What's wrong with coming up with a new rule set? I like that.
I knew.
Yeah, but like what's your rule set, right? Like every single
I don't care. It's something new every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like what Moz was doing, you know, with the Moz versus the World type of thing. Yeah, that was awesome. Cool. That was like really, really fun. I mean, it goes beyond that too. Like, I don't even think it needs to be a tournament. Like, we should the biggest and most community centric things I feel like in Hearthstone are the things where we just bring everybody together. And it doesn't have to be for a tournament. It just happens that the tournament is the most used model for doing that. And, you know, in a lot of sense, it's just becoming too competitive. Like, I don't know what it, you know, I don't know exactly the solutions, but it's definitely something I'll be thinking about this year, is like figuring out some more. I mean, obviously it's harder to bring locally everybody together, but some more online things that just brings, you know, 4, 5, 6 of us together and just have, you know, just have fun with something different. I think that would be great. And if Blizzard could, you know, organize some of those with their new line of events that they talked about doing in 2017.
Firesides and everything.
Yeah, yeah. That would be awesome if they do that.
I mean, I could see a world in which the tournament consists of three phases, one of which, like, you have to win a Tavern Brawl duel, then you have to win a Constructed duel, and then whoever gets the furthest in an arena run. Like, that could be...
Yeah, any of those things. Like it's fun. Yeah, it's a really good thing. It's not HCT, you know? That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Another thing, so Dev Updates is like, it's kind of like, oh, Jimmy, go real original, man. No, but no, Dev Turn Updates, exactly. you know, like recently, you know, Ben kind of showed his setup for the Dev Updates. We found out, you know, it takes a little bit more into the process of making the Dev Updates. And guys, that in itself, and I'm talking to like Ben and Yongwoo and all that stuff, that in itself is the stuff we're looking for. Just like tell us stuff, you know what I mean? Just be more transparent about everything. And A, we can possibly help. I mean, there's a million people that make videos right now. You know what I mean? And B, we can... I don't know. It's just like, it's more endearing and sincere. You know, like when you're that transparent with us and we can understand it more, it's just better communication with the community. And that's all we've been looking for is stuff like that. So yeah, Dev Updates.
We're the needy girlfriend.
Yeah, we are, man. We totally are, man. Just talk with us, dude.
You think people watch streams for the games? No, they watch streams because they watch someone very often. Right. And the relationship the community wants with the Hearthstone devs is the same facetious relationship that people get, let's say, like, the Overwatch dev team. And the truth is, it's not even about, like, 100% transparency, but you tweeted us, like, here's our current janky setup for the dev updates. And you just show the picture. People are just happy to see that you've got a janky setup that you're trying to move, like, to move away from and into something more professional. But they don't want to wait until they pressure you so much that you have to show them the setup. Like, they just want you to say, okay, we're working on it. Sorry, guys. It's in the works.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for pressure to just make you cave in. It sucks that it feels like sometimes, you know, there needs to be a critical mass of bullshit before people finally go, all right, open the floodgates. Let it come through. Now let's respond. Like, just, you know, let it come in a little bit at a time and maybe one day it'll exhaust itself.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm just guessing, okay, because I don't know. But I feel like, you know, they could share more with us. I mean, there are definitely some things you don't share just because, you know, there is some things you don't want to incite folks with, you know, especially if you're not 100% sure about what you're saying. But I feel like there are some things that they could be sharing with us, and they just don't, because there's a general philosophy as to not to, you know, share too much with the community, you know, whatever it is. And I think that's, you know, I just hope that changes. I mean, I think we are probably going to be seeing some changes, you know, in terms of how they deal with community this year.
Ben Brill's busy as fuck, too.
Yeah. I mean, Ben is, you know, obviously been promoted now.
He's not only promoted, but he's like a second dad. It's like second time dad. What the hell?
Yeah.
He's on paternity leave. The guy's got no time. There's no way he can just sit down.
I know, but I know Ben's views on certain things have been different, you know, than what has been going on. Because I think Ben would like to share a bunch of stuff, too. So, I hope that Ben taking the reins does change some of this. And just give priority to the dev updates, guys, like, because it's super important to us, in my opinion, you know, having them planned out, not like kind of do on the side whenever you have time. And then, hey, guys, what do you think of this? Oh, you know, you should change that. No, actually, just plan it out, script it out, you know, take just a little bit of time to script it out and just have Ben do it in one take. That's it. You know, and I think it could be really efficient and you know, than the process that's happening right now. But anyways, that's the dev updates. And the last thing is APIs. I'd like to see them open up some APIs to Hearthstone. Instead of us having to like parse log files, you know, sift through, you know, memory just to grab, like, you know, deck lists and trackers and all that stuff. Just make some public APIs available to developers to make cool tools. You know, we could do more you know, things to help out the Hearthstone dev team by providing some of these things that they don't have right now, or at least providing some fill-ins in the meantime while they're working on whatever they are in the game. And, you know, the sealed tool was great, and I know Hearthstone, the Tempestorm team is improving that soon, so hopefully we can do some events with, you know, just even more different parameters with the sealed tool. But it'd be awesome to be able to get more things like that, you know, and just have it make it easier for the community to do that. You know, we're not trying to steal the IP, you know, we're not going to do anything like that. It's just making tools to help all the Hearthstone players and whatnot enjoy the game even more. So, yeah, it'd be awesome if they could do that. At least the dev team.
I think it's a matter of, you know, how many people will use this feature, because we're in a, like, in the era of mobile gaming. No, I know, but like, we're in the era of mobile gaming, right? And like, would you ask for API for Candy Crush?
Would I ask for API of Candy Crush?
Probably never, right?
Not, like, not for Candy Crush. I mean, Candy Crush is different.
You're not playing it. I mean, it's a different game, I understand, but you need to understand that, like, the marketability of Hearthstone is pretty much Candy Crush. It's on mobile, it's at the top of the charts. Everybody can play it. It's easy. It looks appealing. It's got the art style to make it work. It's just good in terms of the way that it looks and the way that it feels when you play it. So when you look at it from that perspective, like, having an API is not like a crazy priority, because it's not the development we're going, you know, going to focus on the most. It's probably more important that they reduce the size of the app than it is that they give us an API. You know what I mean? Like, their priority list is just like, the API is way at the bottom, and they realize that there are problems that are more important. And it sucks, because I have wanted API since day one. I just wanted to be able to extract data and just use it for, like, an online ranking tool or win rate tracking and everything. It's just not a thing right now.
I disagree with that, but that, because I feel like the most vocal critics and the you know, folks that probably stress them out the most are the ones that are the most hardcore and not the casual people.
Sure.
You know, yeah, how many people would use this thing? It doesn't take many people to use it to create a tool that a lot of people would use. You know what I mean? Like, it's not really about how many people actually develop something. It's about how many people create something that a lot of people want to use.
Okay, I'll give an example here, because I've actually been playing too much Path of Exile. But you think that just by opening up the API, in Path of Exile there's this thing where they create an option for you to filter loot. So some of the loot you get doesn't show up on the screen, so it doesn't clutter too much. So it's not like a loot explosion and you have like 1,000 items. And people can customize those loot filters and share them with others and say, here's my loot filter. You can copy paste it in your folder and use that loot filter as well. You think having the API would be the equivalent as far as calming down the general rage, as it was perhaps like an quality of life tool in Path of Exile? Like, I don't know. I don't know what tool would be made that would make people love Hearthstone more than they already do.
Tournaments, you don't have to know. Like, just one person has to come up with the idea and do it. Like, you don't have to be able to see what great things are going to come from this. You just have to know there's a lot of potential.
I mean, I know there's potential, because I mean that's the point of APIs, but I don't know how much people want to see how much they lose. That's the
if you're not one of those people.
That's not the way it works, Chan, man. It's like saying you don't have to look at your score in StarCraft 1, yet everybody fucking did.
No, but we're talking about third party tools. We're not talking about something built into the thing.
The moment you hear about it, the moment it becomes remotely a thing, then you just either quit because you feel bad, or you just go even more hardcore because you're like, you're very interested in improving yourself. But I'll tell you that the culture is not about self-improvement. It's about hiding issues. And it's just a fact about gaming that you can't tell.
Like, that's very true.
People hate it. So
people play games to hide from their problems.
No, they hide. No.
I know what you mean. I know.
And they just don't want to lose. I know. That's just it. If they lose,
they want to feel good. I get it. I totally get it.
It's just bad.
Yeah. Okay, well, why don't we move on, because we probably don't have that much time, given that we're going to do the show match thing, and hopefully this Twitch thing fixes it. I think it's starting to fix itself now, so why don't we talk about decks, and we'll see if we have time for actually Q&A. I'm not sure we will, so let's go to, let's see, the card view here, and okay, so we have Zalae's Reno Priest first, And this priest, it was labeled OTK, but I don't see any OTK in this deck, okay? So
it's got an OTK in there. You've got to discover.
Okay, wait. I need to look at it.
It's like a solve the lethal. It's a solve the lethal.
I need to download this.
You already know this. It's pretty simple.
Okay, let me look at it. I need to zone in. I need to find one card that looks like an OTK tool.
Well, yeah. It's not the most consistent.
Oh, the Garrison
OTK.
Commander. I see.
No.
The Garrison Commander to what? What's
the... I mean, the Ross of the Chain, sorry, with the... Oh, you didn't put the Auctioneer.
This...
It's not a very...
Even Shadow's Mod isn't even in there.
Okay, wait, bro. It's an OTK? It's an actual OTK?
No. Well, yeah, it has an actual... You can actually OTK something.
Find the elite.
Wait. Do it, bro. Wait up.
It's infinite. You can kill him from 600, theoretically. Well, not really. There's not enough time, but...
There's got to be a card I'm not seeing here.
All right. I'll spoil it for the viewers at home.
Go.
Cabal Courier is going to need...
I was going to say, like, is it really a Cabal Courier? Are you...
I'm gonna discover a Koldara Drake off of the
Oh no!
I'm gonna be honest. It doesn't happen that often. I've heard it's around 1 in 60. I haven't got it yet. I've played it for hours. But you
I've still never
you
done
ever,
it either.
If you ever get Koldara Drake off your Cabal Courier, then that allows you to spam your hero power as many times as you have like time
That's
and mana for, right?
And your hero
power is free from Raza, and you use Shadow Form so that your hero power is dealing damage,
man.
And boom. Got him.
Oh, dude.
OTK.
Special tactics.
Turn 5 kill every time.
Two card OTK, or actually 3 card OTK.
I'm done with this show, boy. If this is the level of OTK decks.
It's not really an OTK. This is a fatigue
awesome.
Control.
I love
this
it.
Is a fatigue
love
control
just,
deck, yeah.
Almost every matchup, you're just looking to just survive all of everything they do and grind them out, and I love it. It's beautiful.
I tried this deck like not too long ago, and those of you wondering, it's got Smite, Potion of Madness, Powered Shield, Ooze, Rat, Doomsayer, Commander Pain, Bran, Courier, Talon Priest, Mind Control Tech, Death, Shadow Form. Thought it's got Thought Stealing. Wow. Shadow Form for sure, but Thought Stealing. Wow. Priest of the Feast, Shadow Madness, Darkshire Alchemist, Excavated Evil, Nova, Soul, Song Stealer, right? Mm-hmm. Nexus Champion Sarad, which is cool. Raza, of course. Second rated Brawler, Dragon Fire Potion, Entomb, Reno, Sylvanas, and Mind Control. So the Mind Control, that's a surprising pick there. So what do you hit normally with that?
Some big dumb 8/8. It used to be Confessor Paltrow, and I was like, this card is really bad. It gets a lot of Thalnos and Tutu, just complete garbage off. Yeah. It's really disappointing. It dies every time with 4 health. And so I was like, you know, I could really use another answer to big, dumb stuff because those things kill me sometimes. And having just Shatter, Death, and Entomb is kind of not enough. I want like a third one. So Mind Control. And yeah, it's just kind of like you can have a dead card in your deck against aggro because if you draw the good cards against aggro, you're going to win anyways.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you're going to lose anyways. And having a nice, big, slow, greedy answer to win some of those slower matchups, which happen kind of a lot on ladder right now. I thought MC Tech was pretty good.
And the Reno Priest Mirrored gives you an edge, too. Like, that's the one thing that I like. Yeah. Like, this greedy list is just good for that.
There's no Medivh in this deck, though, man. I'm disappointed. Medivh is, like, awesome
Medivh is...
Mind Control and Kazakus, actually.
Right? I mean, that is the next level of greed. If you want to go one step further, you could throw a Medivh in there. One of my issues with Medivh right now is just that, like, it's obviously terrible against aggressive decks. And against slower decks, they're typically Kazakus decks and have one Acidic Swamp Ooze in all of them, and they can just save that for Medivh. But nobody expects Medivh out of Priest, so maybe it'll work anyways, right?
Yeah, and sometimes maybe you can at least get one spell off with it, because Medivh's not... I mean, Medivh's 8, right? So maybe you can get, a Pain and get at least a little value from the weapon. I usually swing with that weapon first anyways. I'm always in a position where there's some guy with one health that I have to kill.
Yeah, you
when
have
I
to
play
ping.
Medivh.
You're like,
it's
oh,
like, fuck. Yeah, yeah.
This guy represents 10 damage over a few turns if I don't kill him.
Exactly.
If I put Medivh in this deck, I would do it with the mindset of I'm probably just not going to play this card until after I see them play their Acidic Swamp Ooze because they're probably going to play it out, not expecting me to have a Medivh.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, why don't we talk about, I don't know if we'll talk about all of these decks, but let's talk about the Rogue, because the Rogue is one that I think is really cool that Noxious has. And it's actually a Rogue I saw Jackie playing like a day or two ago, ranking up from, I think, 8 at the time. And Ink, in rank 8 early on, guys, is actually, you know, pretty high, you know, like on the first day or whatever. But this is like double backstab, double prep, cold bloods, patches. It's got the pirate opening, eviscerate sap, Edwin Shaku, SI agent, Silent Knight, Defender of Argus, and Shadow Sensei. So these, some of these new cards, Lotus Assassin, Azure Drake, and Sprint. So a different approach on, I guess what you would say is a combo-ish, aggro-ish type of
It's a rogue. Tempo rogue. It's the purest form of tempo rogue I've ever played in my life. I've tried everything from, like, if you look at the beta days of Hearthstone, tempo rogue had like Black Knight and Assassin's Blade and Assassinate sometimes even. They tried all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it never really had the early game consistency of Buccaneer into patches into, hey, I'm going to get to turn 3. And start my gameplay from there.
Yeah,
like, you don't need backstab and sap to give you tempo as hard now, because what they can help you do is more than give you tempo, they can actually help you push for lethal early. Like, when you have this opener, you can just get, oh, I'm gonna sap your two drop and just cold blood on the coin and just kill you very, very quickly. So I think that happens more often now with Rogue, and this type of deck is effectively just trying to find an excuse to play Shadow Sensei. Like, I had a discussion with someone because at the beginning of the expansion, I built a deck that was pretty much like 95% this. And I had a discussion with someone about Lotus Assassin and Shadow Sensei because I thought those cards were just good and rogue, and you should probably try to build a combo, a tempo deck that is around them. But back then, I feel like the patches package, like on day one or something, was just not really explored much. Mm-hmm. And it didn't feel like the most automatic inclusion to go like double Swashburglar, double small time patches, double cold blood to go hyper aggro. Because I felt like if I wanted to play tempo, I needed more defenders, you know, divine shield minions like Argent Squire, and play more one drops. And it turned out to be the wrong approach. So when I went back to it, ended up, you know, putting more top end and the double prep for the prep sprint and finding room for the assassin, for the Shadow Sensei. And the deck didn't really change much since release, but the difference is, the metagame is less aggressive. Like, the aggro pirate warriors are gone. Aggro shaman's still a thing, so that's going to eat you alive. But that's the reason Argus is there. That's why Silent Knight is so good in the matchup, as stupid as that sounds. Silent Knight gets to snipe a totem for free. If you have Shadow Sensei, it kills a totem golem for free. Like, the amount of times where you just win against a shaman because you're there on the board earlier than he is insane. The biggest thing that I've had to do with this deck is play extremely around Maelstrom Portal, because if it lands, you're done. Like, that's, there's a lot of little nuanced plays where you go, you know, Shadow Sensei with Silent Knight onto a totem golem, it's left with one health, you have patches stuff left over, you lose to Maelstrom Portal, so you have to make sure your guys are healed up. If that means using a sap on a one drop, just do it. It sucks. Whoa. But like, that's how extreme it is.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I really like I like the whole Silent Knight and Sensei and Shaku. I mean, Shaku we've seen recently, and I mean, some videos, obviously with JJ and Life Coach, those crazy reaction videos, has had some value. It's like, Adelay, you were telling me when you were first reviewing it, you actually thought this card had some potential.
Yeah, it's not like I think Shaku's a great card, but mm-hmm. when people were discussing it with me, they were telling me it was complete garbage and unplayable, and I was like, I think you could put it in a deck. Doesn't seem that bad. It's mm-hmm. kind of okay on power level.
Yeah, this is the type of deck that just barely wins, right? Like Noxious, like you. Does it come down to like the last turn sometimes? Just like really, you blow out
disgusting blowouts.
Yeah, that's always fun.
I like blowouts.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I had like Silent Knight turn 3 into Shadow Sensei against the Dragon Priest is like the dream. Against Arena Lock, they're still struggling, like, because you have the explosive opener. So you still do that stupid stuff. Like, that's the important part. And by the time they dealt with that stupid stuff, you're like, okay, here's a Lotus Assassin. And then they want to develop on the board, and they try, but then you have Sap. You have Shadow Sensei for Lotus Assassin that can make it a 7-7 that restealths itself. Like, that is bonkers. It's like, it kills something, and it kills something else or them. Pick one. It's like, the fact that Lotus Assassin stealths itself after you get a value trait is nuts.
Yeah.
In the Rogue Mirror, it's amazing. Like, it's just I think, such a good card for this specific deck. It's a shame that it took so long for people to start playing it, because I thought my hipster ass would come up with something cool here.
Are you telling me
people are running this?
No, I mean, I'm telling you that I saw Jackie play it, okay? So that's another fellow hipster.
Right?
That's a fellow hipster ass guy.
And I'm like, this is a good deck, dude. This is it. And it's not.
Okay. Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah, taking the...
When I look at this deck, I just want to put Tomb Pillager in there and Gadgets and Auctioneers. That makes me a bad person.
Of course you might as well throw a Fan of Knives too.
Yes.
But
now
I swear, if you want to do that, what I would cut is cut one Swashburglar, cut the last SI, and just go like Auctioneer Pillagers, and you cut the sprints, right?
Do you have to have Argus? Is that a thing that needs to be
there? I think Argus needs to be there for, like, against aggro.
Yeah.
It just doesn't look like your minions stick to the board, so what does Argus
do? They
do.
Silent Knight does. I mean, the stuff you get is
it definitely sticks to the board, yeah, for sure. Because it's stealth. I mean, like, a lot of stuff's either... It's going to be hard to kill those two minions.
You always have, like, one leftover mana somewhere to weave in a pirate and taunt it up at the worst-case scenario. And Lotus Assassin and Silent Knight are always targets for that. So...
Yeah.
For some reason, it works. Like, I've just... Defend of Argus has just worked. I haven't found a reason to replace it yet. There might be one, but I think the issue with making this a Miracle Rogue deck is suddenly I want Leroy, and I just
I could live without Leroy. You got deckhand, like, whatever.
Sure, but yeah. I mean, I feel like I want to be more aggressive, and suddenly it's like, why the stealth theme without Quest and Conceal? Like, I might as well go Quest and Conceal.
I just feel bad about cutting Tomb Pillager. Like, when you're allowed to play that card, you probably should.
Yeah, I know what you mean. This
is like, it's the Gadget Sand that makes me want to just off myself when I play this deck. Like, I've tried it with the Gadget Sand, and it's like, here's this card that's the opposite of tempo.
It's value. It's just pure value.
Gadget and Sprint are the same in that, right?
I mean, yeah, Sprint is more like a hand replenishment tool. The issue is you don't get to use your spells without Gadget Sand without feeling bad very often, whereas now I can, like, throw spells... for their immediate purpose, as opposed to sacrificing this thing.
Sure.
And prep is probably accompanied by sprint a lot of times in this deck too. Yeah. It's like so it's like a 4 mana.
Most of the time. Sometimes you get preps up on like a 3-drop and you're like, okay, that sucked, but here I win.
Yeah, in a lot of ways I think this feels like in some ways plays like a Dragon Warrior, but it's faster. I think the winning window is also probably faster. You do have the Edwin. You still have the Edwin craziness, which is always great. That can just win you games by itself. So it's always good to have that win condition. You don't like the Edwin's. You don't like the Edwin win condition? It's awesome.
Bad, I don't think it's that amazing. Like, that's one of the first cuts I'd make, funny enough. Like,
really? Okay.
Oh, I was going to go the other way. I'm going to say Edwin's way too strong.
Yeah, it's like a win condition.
A little bit. It's like Edwin was way more okay when Iron Beak Owl cost 2 and Big Game Hunter cost 3. And now Edwin is like pretty dumb.
Right, but in this deck, it's just you almost never find a spot because I don't play counterfeit coin. Like, the only time I get a good Edwin will be like on turn 6 where I go like, backstab, 1-drop, sap Edwin or something like that. Or like Shaku, prep, sap Edwin. Like, it's kind of rare that I get these crazy openers with him. It's just not really a thing. I mean, I'm sure occasionally it'll happen and I'll just be like, okay. Why didn't I do this earlier?
You have a handful of spells and you have Edwin and it's just like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't happen very often, luckily, because the deck works in a way that has a lot of minions.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. That's actually why I ended up... I don't like SI. Like, for SI just bothers me. Like, that card just doesn't feel right.
It's hard. It's hard not to have it against
aggro. It's like
Tomb
Pillager. Cutting it hurts me.
All right. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap up, guys, because we have to get this show match started. But we got a few more decks that we can maybe bring back up next week. But Zalay, it's been awesome having you on, though, this week. And hopefully we can have you back on, in the near future, too. But I know I know some leagues coming up, so it might be another few weeks before we have you on again.
Yeah.
It always feels like home having you on, though.
It feels good to be here, you know?
Yeah, definitely. You want to do some shout-outs before you go?
Shout-out to you guys for having me. Shout-out to Team Luminosity. They're the best. And, that's about it. Shout-out to all my fans, I guess.
Awesome.
To all my fans who supported me through 2016.
2017.
Through the mid-range Shaman meta, guys. We did it.
That's a good one, guys.
I know.
Oh, man.
We made it.
We made it, exactly. Made it to the happy place. At least some of us are in the happy place. Noxious, shout outs.
Shout out to Complexity. They're the best. I like my team. The guys are good. The guys are cool. And to a cool 2016. Just shout out to Valleytown for improving as well. You know, Shami, you've been doing quite a lot of work on it last year. It's shown. We're doing great. And hopefully the year is just as good, if not better.
Yeah,
better.
Thanks. Thanks, man. And oh, one thing that we didn't talk about just really quickly is like just for Complexity. Super JJ won the Zagreb, you know, the little tournament that, or the Zagreb tournament that happened a couple days ago. So congrats to him for doing that. And also, I want to give a shout out to the patrons. We didn't get a chance to do that. We didn't get a chance to do Smilestone, guys, because we dropped below the milestone, unfortunately. We actually had a few Smilestone, exactly. So, yeah, take a look at that. If you guys want to still see or hear Milestone, Laughstone, whatever we're going to be doing here, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/Valleytown. But special thanks to our big legendary producers, Mike T and Louis G, as always. They're exceptional, awesome people. And a few others, Julius K, Esser G, Bobby D, Gary D, Dan S, Joel A, Jake L, Matthew H, Will S, and David T for being patrons for some of you guys for a very long time. So thank you so much for that. Big shout out to some of our iTunes folks too that have been leaving 5-star reviews and helping us out with helping people find Valleytown when they're searching for Hearthstone podcasts on iTunes. Jacob the Professor Perez, Dallas C, Soma 11, and NS Hornet. Yeah, exactly. I'd like to call myself the Professor one of these. That'd be a great call name.
Oh, you can call me the Professor.
Yes.
Like, what the hell?
It's like, hell yeah, man. That's awesome.
Such a cool name, dude.
Yeah, totally. But we didn't have enough time to get some questions this week, but we do have a bunch of email questions that we will cover next week. So send your email questions over to valleytown@chainmanv.tv and we'll get them. I know a lot of people had trouble watching the show today, so I will get the VOD together. It might take some time because we were having some issues over here trying to figure out the best way to record it too. So be on the lookout for that. That's going to be on youtube.com/chainmanv. And then again, on iTunes, just look for us. Just search for Valleytown or search for Hearthstone. You'll find us there. That's going to be it for at least the show portion of Valleytown. We're going to be doing I think people are thinking we should call it Valleytown Throwdowns or something. I'm trying to come up with some just casual name for it.
Throwdown.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're doing a show match.
Valleytown Throwdown.
Valleytown Throwdown.
Throwdown. Let's do it.
The Downs Throwdown. What? Okay.
I think Valleytown Throwdown.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
I think that sounds like that. Good too. Guys, we're doing a show match with Orange and Jackie Chan. It's going to be a new format. We're doing class drafts and bands. And we actually have all that recorded too from a couple days ago. So definitely check that out right after this. I'm going to stop the stream here. Elefina is going to start it up like immediately after. So stay here because it's going to start right back up. But for the show at least, in Zalay's, Noxious, and myself, Chan MV, we'll see you later.